Hey, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen. I'm eating cinnamon bears. Sorry.
That sounds lovely. I was saying that you were going to have to watch me eat the last of my food, but because you had to work on some sound stuff, I wolfed it down. So I'm very full, but I'm not eating anymore, at least.
What were you eating?
Okay, this is actually kind of fun. I'm going to talk about this, even though it's not super interesting.
I love it.
So I made fries, as in, like, I got a fry, like, cutter.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I had no idea. They can be really expensive. Like, your average one is like $90 to like $100.
What?
Like, they're very, yeah. Like, it's like the thing that presses it through and like turns a potato into fries, basically.
Amazing.
I found one for like 40 something, and I used it for the first time today. And it's kind of weird. Like, it sits sideways and then you push a little lever and it goes slow. It's like burp, 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 like little bits at a time.
Oh.
Until you push the whole potato through. Yeah. And I did that before my workout today. And then I let the potatoes soak in water.
That's right.
Because that gets the starch out of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I was able to make them. I will say that I don't have great time management. We're recording a little bit later than we usually do. So I was like, I can have a luxurious, just like lazy morning. And I took it too far. So then I was like rushing to get going. So I will say that I have discovered I did the fries in my air fryer and I did them for 6 minutes twice. And that wasn't long enough. So they were kind of soggy fries, which I actually don't mind. It doesn't really bother me, but I'll up the time and I'll keep everyone posted on my.
I know. I'm like, what do you do? 15 minutes or?
Well, I'm just going to do 7 and 7 because the way you do with an air fryer is that you do it like half the amount of time and then you take it out and you kind of like shake it up so that whatever you're cooking can move around a bit and then you put it back in for the rest of it. So I'm still experimenting. We'll let you know. But the fries themselves were really, really good. They just weren't quite cooked enough. So
I'm excited.
That's all.
I'm definitely following. We never got an air fryer yet.
I really like it. What I will say is that I got this sort of fancy one that has two different sides. So you theoretically can cook two things at once.
At different,
I think
like,
that I
temps?
I think that I, ha- yeah, at different
oh.
temperatures.
Yeah.
And you, I have not mastered it. Like, there's a way you can do it so that you can do it so that like things finish at the same time. So I haven't utilized it to the fullest extent yet, but I really have enjoyed it. I've done like Brussels sprouts in there. Like I said, I've done fries a lot of the time. I've done a few other things, but I really want to do like chicken wings. Oh,
yeah.
And a coworker was saying that he makes steak.
What? So he like fried steak?
Yeah, like air fried steak. And he says it turns out, I'm not someone who likes to cook steak because I think I'm going to get it wrong.
Oh.
But apparently like it works really well in an air fryer. So I'm going to check that out also because that sounds intriguing to me.
Mike, I can help you make steak.
Yeah, I feel like I've had steak with you and Adam and like you guys know how to, I just don't know how to, like I feel like I do it wrong. I don't know. Because I'm that person who wants things medium rare until I'm making it and then I'm certain I'm going to like kill myself somehow. Like, so Vanya, the amount, because I almost exclusively eat veggie burgers now. Like that's kind of my go-to post-workout is veggie burger and
nice.
Air fries. I'm like, that's nutritious
Delicious.
Enough, but like, yeah, it's wonderful. The amount of stress I have over undercooking a veggie burger. Like, I don't even know what the worst can happen if you undercook a veggie burger.
Yeah, not
probably
not,
nothing, but like, I'm terrified.
Maybe
that I'm gonna,
a tummy
that
ache?
Yeah.
A little bit
maybe.
Of a tummy ache, yeah.
So anyways, that's my silliness. speaking of food, I went into the Old Mermaid that I used to work at last night with a couple of friends. We all worked there together.
Yeah.
Jesse and Claire and I all went in. And had such a great meal. And it was really fun to like be in that space. I think they're open for one more week. They were supposed to close this weekend and they're going till the Sunday after. It's like the 23rd, I want to say. So I'm probably going to try to go in again next week. It feels sort of silly, but also like, you know, I worked there for a long time. Yeah. And it's a big space, which was a thing that I wasn't a fan of, but like, it's a beautiful space and it's really good food. So I had a very, very nice meal and just had fun sort of reminiscing. It's funny because I know that I said this already last week, but I opened that space twice and the second time was in the middle of the pandemic.
Crazy.
And yeah, I think about, I don't know if I've told this story before, but like literally the owners and the managers reached out to be like, hey, it was Elise and Jesse and I, like, can you guys come in and just check out the space? we're going to like look around and see how it might work, you know. And we got there and we opened. Like, they were like, all right, we're going to start taking tables. And I was training this guy, Christian. And I literally at one point was like, those are your tables. Like, don't say yes or no if you don't know the answer. Like, come to me and we'll figure it out. But we were, I mean, people were like desperate to go out to eat. And it was only outdoors. So you would go inside and it was just sort of like, that was your workspace. And you know, we were all in masks the whole time, and it was kind of freaky at first. And the way that things progressed, and I worked 11 days in a row. Jesse would want me to say that he worked 14 days in a row, which I guess I believe him. But you know, like it was just such a small crew at first. Like, we just worked every day all the time. And it's so weird to think about that now. Like, it's because it wasn't that long ago, and yet it feels like lifetimes ago.
Was that the same location you got hit by the bike?
Yeah, that's the same location where I got hit by a bike. I caught air. I was up in the air for a while.
Not funny.
It was pretty bad. Yeah. No, it's pretty awful. And I'm not the only person that it's happened to. Like, I have several coworkers at that location that have also... And I guess part of that is like, can we, I don't know, I've said this for a while now, we need to rethink the platforms, I think, at this point. Yeah. I feel like we have indoor dining again. We can go ahead and...
Go ahead,
you know,
and honor that, and
honor the, we invented indoors for a reason. Let's go ahead and just go back to that. So, I don't know. I guess the only other thing that I did this week that was kind of fun, and this is sort of in keeping with theme of seeing movies that I own on DVD, but seeing them in the theater, is that I knew that I'd be so mad at myself if I didn't go see Avatar, the original Avatars, back in the theaters, and I went and saw it in IMAX 3D. And that shows, I mean, that movie is just magical.
We just recently watched it.
It's so good. I mean, it really does strike me how, like, transgressive and progressive that film is. Yeah. I mean, aside from just being, like, visually so stunning, like, such a work of art. And I know people will say that it's derivative, and I get it. I get that it's sort of Dances with Wolves. I get that it's sort of Pocahontas. But it's
Fern Gully.
All of those things. I mean, like, these are the basic stories that then you build upon. But like, I just think what it has to say about the environment and what it has to say about, you know, it's not even our planet, but what it says about the planet and what it says about the interconnectivity of all living beings. And like, I mean, it's a pretty amazing, aside from it just being gorgeous to look at, it's a really, really impressive message that it always strikes me that it's the highest grossing film of all time. And yet we can't quite seem to really get the message and take it to heart. I don't know. We're going to get more to that as we go along. It's going to be a recurring theme as we go along today. But how about you? Anything fun going on this week?
Well,
I just talked forever.
We know. I love it. We got back from our vacay, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that was really fun. It was hard to like kind of transition out of that mode because there's so much to do. Kids were dicks after they got back. It's like they get in this mode where I guess I say yes too much and let them have too much candy and too much screen time. And then they're just, and I'll be honest, not my daughter. She's fine. Because she, but I feel like I keep having to like yell 10 times. And Mike, I don't like yelling. I have a loud voice. I have no problem being loud, but I don't like to yell because I got yelled at when I was a kid and I don't like it at all. So I'm like, I always told myself I'm not going to yell. I'm going to, you know, I'm not maybe so far in the peaceful parenting direction. I definitely am like, you know, I could be better, I'm sure. But yeah, I had to start yelling. I had to, and then they freak out. They're like, why are you yelling at us? I'm like, guys, I asked you nicely I grabbed your chin. I looked in your damn eyes, your beautiful, cute little eyes, and asked you. And then when that didn't work, you going to hear my yell? Uh-huh. I go into a high-pitched, I'm going to move back from like, this is what I do. It's like, then I get into this mode and it feels really crazy. And I'm just like, and I'm just doing it because I feel like it annoys them and they actually listen. But I hate that, man. It's just not my thing.
No, I hate yelling too. Obviously, I don't have kids, but I think about like the one like screaming match that I got in with my ex where we like literally screamed from like Greenwich Street all the way to 42nd Street. And it was so awful. And like no one wins. Like no one feels better at the end of that. And I remember I'm like in the moment being like, I'm just never going to yell at anyone ever again. And who knows? I can't say that's never ever happened again. But like it's just awful. Like just yelling. No one wins.
You know, I was just thinking my parents, listen, I love you guys so much. And I know we all work with what we have, you know, the tools that we have. And yelling was one of their tools. It is, you know, and it just, I didn't love it. You know, I honestly, there was a point in my life where I was like, just spank me for God's sake. I just, let's get this over with. Like, I don't want to be yelled at or actually even lectured is another thing that my family really loved to do. They really wanted to talk it into you. Make sure you got and understood the lesson. Anyway, that I will do. I will. God, I got it, Mom. I even get that now, but whatever. So yeah, it's just been a transition back. They're in school. Everything's fine. They're doing anti-bully week. So every day they have a theme for what they're wearing. And so yesterday was like, wear your favorite outfit. Today is like, they got to wear jammies to school. And why do kids give so much crap about that? I don't know. Kids love wearing their jammies to school. I personally look at my kids and go, you look like you need to put clothes on. Like I'm like, you know, I can't handle it, but whatever. They're fine. They're back. And the weather's not as hot. So everything's better. And yeah, I'm just preparing. I feel like I've been doing things a lot, but I'm actually going to a wedding in Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
I'm leaving on a red eye tomorrow. I'll be there. But I'm really excited to see one of my dear friends get married, and I'm by myself. I mean, I'm with Averyn, but Averyn and I are going. I'm staying with her parents, but yeah. I am.
Oh, that's exciting.
Uh-huh. I'm a little worried for Adam, not that he can't do it, but I wouldn't want to do it. And he's working like, you know, more than full time. So he'll be fine.
It'll all be good. Listen, I don't want to have you make you talk about yelling more than we already have.
Let's
but
do it.
I did hear your dog story.
Oh, yeah.
About would you mind sharing that on this?
Yeah.
You
no, absolutely. Guess what? Maybe I am a yeller. Maybe I need to go into therapy. No, I was walking on the street and this woman, okay, so it's just so bizarre. I live in a really sleepy neighborhood. People walk their dogs all the time. It's got nice, beautiful sidewalks. Everything's maintained. There's trees. It's shade. It seems, it's so idyllic. There's like a white picket fence, not white picket, but you know what I mean. It's like beautiful, beautiful area to walk around. And usually you just like kind of, you nod at your neighbor. Sometimes you say hi. It's not so like nice, but it's like just perfectly cordial, which I'm into. Mm-hmm. But this woman was, and then honestly, I think it's a rule, like an unspoken rule, but like if your dog is not good with other dogs, that you cross the street, right? Or you, whatever. Because how else would, you know, a person know? Anyways, this woman had two big, huge Rottweiler dogs. And she was like probably my size, like 5'5", 5'6". And she had them sort of tied around her waist. That's the other part that I was like, what the fuck? And just, so my cute little peanut dog is walking and it's right where the squirrels are. So he always kind of like tries to get this kill. I'm like, kill the damn squirrel. Because squirrels are just rats, people. Anyways, so we're like kind of walking slowly, sniffing around. And she yells at me from the street. She doesn't cross the street. She just kind of gets into the street a little bit. She's like, can you go faster with your dog? My back's going to go out. So I was like, what the hell? And I honestly, I mean, this is what I was saying. I was not proud of myself because I just reacted. I matched her energy. And I was like, well, you know, I was like, he's only going as fast as he can go. And she's like, what did you say? And I was like, oh, bitch, it's on. I yelled back at her and then walked away. And I was just like, I left that in feeling like that sucks, right? That just sucked. A, she sucks. Oh, and she's also like, it's really hard having two dogs. I'm like, that's a choice, bitch. But anyway, yeah. And then, but she was saying her back, if they run towards my dog, that was the thing, her back will go out. I'm like, okay, also what? Anyways, but I think this woman is in such like mental anguish. I don't know. She just, I feel like, I felt bad later because I'm like, who snaps like that who's not in pain?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
also, yeah. Just walk around. Like, I don't understand what her
deal was. What the fuck are you doing?
Deal
Excuse
was.
My language. Sorry. Yeah. But I really like, what? Like, it's like she wanted to have a fight with somebody on that day or on the street.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh?
That might have been. Also, I think that it's become sort of a thing on here where I bleep out the F-bombs.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And it was just but I don't care because I think that the F-word is hilarious, like my favorite word. But it became like, I'm not going to bleep them anymore. It was kind of going to say. Because it started as like a joke because I thought it was funny. And now people were like, why do you always censor her? People have like asked me that. Well, and I'm like, it was just a joke.
I thought it was because so we can keep a clean rating on our.
No, we can keep a clean rating anyway. We're fine. We're fine.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
All right. So
I have a dirty mouth. Just a filthy,
I love
filthy
it.
Mouth.
I swear all the time.
It's true.
All
Mike
the time.
Does. Yeah. He's filthy, too.
So what else? What's going on this week? What are you digging? Anything in particular?
Yeah. I have something that I'm just working on that I'm digging.
Cool.
So for my kids' school, I volunteered to chair this like art program. They call it a program because you can't call it a competition, but it's a competition, you know. And so every year it's like through the PTA, and there's like a theme, and the kids create art within this theme. And yeah, so there's, and you can make a film, you can do photographs, you can do any kind of visual art, you could do fashion design, you could do anything. And so basically I'm organizing it all and getting the judges who are blind judges. Anyways, I got everything in, almost everything today, and I've been just like weeping. Kids are so amazing. Like the way that they interpret things, I feel like this just solidifies in my mind how important art is for learning, but like for human beings, because they had to write like little artists. They had a title and they had to write like a little artist statement about why they did what they did within the theme. And oh my gosh, kids are so smart. And honestly, a lot of kids did things about saving the earth and taking care of our planet and having a voice and this and that. Even my daughter Amelia, oh my God, Mike, I'll send it to you. She wrote a song.
Oh, wow.
And she played the piano. And I hope she doesn't listen to this, but man, she's bad. And here's the thing. She has a cute little voice. She has a cute little voice. But like, I'm doing everything in my power to like not fix it, but you're not supposed to, you know. It's supposed to be from the kids. They have to be the ones,
right?
So it like mildly kills me, but she's so cute. And there's one part in the song, Mike, I almost actually reached out to you this weekend when she was working on it, but like she sings everything really light and really like high, and then she gets into this like chorus again. I really hope she doesn't, but the chorus is like super random, like it doesn't feel like it's even from the same song. And then she like really hits it and she goes la, 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 la. I mean, it's the cutest thing. Like she's like up here I'm singing, and then she's like I'm not kidding. But it's really sweet. It's all about working together and saving the planet. And her song is called Loving Planet.
I love that.
I love it so much. Oh, and I also am digging. At first, I was like irritated by it. But now I'm like, I think I caught the wormhole, ear hole, the hole. Whatever.
You caught the hole.
It's in my head and I can't get it out. But Sam Smith and Kim Petras' new song, Unholy.
Okay. I haven't heard it.
Oh, my God. It's like just, it's fun, you know? One of the lines are, Mommy don't know Daddy's getting hot. At the body shop, doing something unholy. He left his kids at home. Anyways, listen to it. Oh, wee yo, wee yo. I love it.
That's fun. Well, I will say, so one of the things that I was going to just have one thing. And I will, behind the scenes, I will say, I literally texted you a week ago, like the day we recorded last week, I texted you. Ooh. I hadn't even edited last week's episode.
Right.
I was like, I already have next week's thing.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
I'm already good to go. So I'm going to say that one second, because I will also say, I mentioned last week that I got in a weird buying Sally Field's Oscar winning performances yeah. on DVD kick. So I bought both Places in the Heart, which I watched last week and was like really, really, really beautiful film. Then last night I watched Norma Rae, and I hadn't seen Norma Rae probably since I was like 16 years old. And I don't think it's streaming anywhere. Like, I don't think there's a place you can go to watch it, but it's such a good movie. Like, it was 1979, I think was the year it came out. And it's about union. It's about unionizing this textile workplace and
factory.
Thank you. Fabrica in Spanish. And it's, you know, I just finished reading The Grapes of Wrath. And this goes back to what I was saying about like just humankind unable to learn the lesson that like. Yeah. The recurring theme of unions are communism and it's the damn Reds coming in to like ruin this country. And, you know, we're both from union families. Like your dad was a big union guy and my dad was a big union guy. And it's just, I don't know. It stuns me that we're still in this world where we don't understand that like coming together for the greater good is what is going to solve our problems.
I don't get it either. I've been thinking about that in different, not necessarily union wise, but just like in other things. I'm like, why? Why? Why can't we just come together for the greater good?
Yeah, it's bizarre. So I just give a shout out to Norma Rae. Okay, but here is what it is that I watched a week ago.
And
I'd seen ads and I had been wanting to watch it. And I was like, let's see how it goes. Vanya, you have to watch Reboot on Hulu.
Okay.
It's a new comedy series. You know that I'm not a binge person. I don't like to watch more than one episode at a time.
I watched
one episode every day until I ran out of episodes. Ah! And then the new one literally came out this morning. So I got up and watched episode 7 of it. I love it so much. So it's basically about...
Oh my God, I'm so, basically, so excited.
Yeah. So Rachel Bloom plays like a... independent filmmaker who wants to reboot this television show from the early 2000s about like a stepfather. It was called Step Right Up, I think is what it was called. And like, it's about like the step family and sort of this family dynamic. And the show ended up being canceled when one of the main stars left to become a huge movie star, which then of course never happened because that's only happened to George Clooney, but everyone else thinks it's going to happen to them too.
Right.
And it's about this woman who wants to reboot this series. But what she doesn't say right away is that the original series was created by her father, played by Paul Reiser, who was telling a comedy version of his real life in which he had abandoned his daughter to start this new family. So then it's her trying to have like the darker, realer version of this.
Oh.
All to say, yeah, it's so many interesting like family and star dynamics. Keegan-Michael Key plays the guy who had left to become a big movie
star.
We
all love him.
I feel like I will make people uncomfortable if I say how attracted to Keegan-Michael Key.
I love it. No,
there's something.
We gotta find a Keegan-Michael Key for you.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Like it's weird, but he's so good. And then Judy Greer, who is when I say this is her best comedic work that I think I've ever seen her do, that's hard because I loved Arrested Development so much, and her work on that show was like stunningly hilarious. She's so good on this series. She'll be like in the background of a scene and she'll like give a thumbs up and I'm cracking up. Like, it's so good. And like Johnny Knoxville, who's like Jackass, and I kind of hate that whole genre. Like, it makes me sad that it exists. I guess it gives other people joy. Like, I hate it. But he's so great. Like, it's just a really, really strong, really, really funny cast. I wholly, wholly recommend checking out Reboot on Hulu. Like I said, I think the first 7 episodes are out, but it's legitimately half an hour. Like,
most
episodes
are
like 26 minutes. It's so good. Yeah, watch. And I will say that, like, it does sort of talk about the clunky comedy of certain sitcoms, and it has its fair share of that. Like, there are certainly jokes that I'm like, meh, meh. But it's also, there's a lot of like fresh, funny stuff. Anyways, yeah, Reboot, check it out. I love it. I'm super obsessed with it. So much fun. How about on the flip side? Anything you could do without this week?
Yeah, you know, what the heck is up with Kanye West being super anti-Semitic? What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with people? Like, here's the thing. I don't follow him anyways, but I would, if you guys follow Kanye West, just unfollow that idiot, because I think that, like, we gotta stop. People who are anti-Semitic gotta stop. I don't get it. Like, just stop.
Yeah, it's just, I just also feel like we just keep giving fuel to his fire when we pay attention to it.
Exactly.
And like, bringing it up, because we should talk about it,
I know.
We should, like, call it out and say that it's not just ridiculous and awful, but there's something mental going on there, right?
Oh, like, for sure. No, he's definitely bipolar, and he might be, have some voices in his head. I'm not quite sure, but we know that he has some mental health issues. But like, yeah, it's just like, you know, it just hurts people. Things like that, when people are like anti anything or speak, it's going to, you know, some poor little woman's going to get like attacked, you know, in the city. I don't know. This is what pisses me off.
That's 100% true, though. Like those, I mean, when we get to mine, I'm going to talk about unintended consequences. Like, I don't know what his intentions are, but you're absolutely correct that any kind of stirring up of that hatred does bring danger to people.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. So I just like, I could definitely do without that. And I also wish that I knew how to, I don't know. I always wish I could change it somehow, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing is food waste. I feel like, I don't know how to grocery shop and without having, like, without having things go bad. And I just, like, the guilt I feel when I'm like, oh, why are these green beans gone bad? Why? So I just, like, need a class on, like, how to buy the right amount, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard, I think, also because we're all, we kind of like stock up. So like, and whenever I stock up, I then end up being like, oh, why did I buy more than I need? Like, it's almost like you have to buy just what you need for like the next couple of days.
Yeah, maybe that's hard,
especially when you have, yeah, but you have kids too. That's like, I get that it's so much more complicated when you're not like, I'm just feeding me and I mess up.
I know. Me too.
But I feel you.
But yeah, that's it. You, tell me.
Well, the one just popped up. And so this isn't even doing without, but just real quick, I just found out that Angela Lansbury just passed away today.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once again, we've had this, she was like 96 years old. She had a very long, very celebrated life. She had 5 Tony Awards. You know, Sweeney Todd, the recorded version of that, was one of my favorite things to watch.
She's amazing.
If people haven't seen it, she's so incredible. I did get to see her on stage one time. I saw her in A Little Night Music.
Oh, that's right.
And she was wonderful. And, you know, so, you know, just a quick tip of the hat to Angela Lansbury, aww, who's a super classy lady. But what I wanted to bring up, and this is hard because I feel like I have to kind of talk around a little bit because it has to do with my job. I just want people to think really hard before they write a negative restaurant review. Because, you know, once again, unintended consequences, but someone who I care about really, really dearly doesn't work with me anymore. And it just sucks. You know, it's... if you are offended by something, or if something has really like bothered you, I understand the need or the want to talk about it and address it, but just be careful, you know, like you just got to be careful. Like you don't know what your actions can bring about. And when I say a person, it really then affects more than that. Like more than one person now is not going to work with me anymore because of this situation. And it's people that I really care about, and it sucks. And it just makes me really, really sad. So I guess I just want to put that out there. Because, you know, once again, if something has really... But I think about the time that we went to whatever that restaurant was that you took me to that was downtown, and they kept poisoning me.
Oh my gosh. And they were rude about it. They were so rude about it. And I try to be chill about most things, but there's certain things that set me off. And my God, they kept giving him food that I mean, if you follow us, you've heard this story, but like he kept giving him food that he's highly allergic to. And they were telling us it was fine. And it would come to the table and you're like, are you sure there's no like whatever soy sauce in this? And they're like, oh yeah, no, there's absolutely or whatever. And we're like, we said that he can't have that. And then they didn't comp anything.
Yeah.
Like, it was like 3 extra meals.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you're poisoning someone, comp it. That's what pissed me off, man. Ooh. And I didn't write a review. I didn't even write a review.
That was the thing. Like, I feel like that's an instance in which you would have been justified in writing a terrible review. And we still didn't. We still didn't. Because it's just like, whatever. Like, yeah,
exactly.
I don't know. It's very bothersome. So there you go. That's what I could
sorry.
Do without unintended consequences. So I was sort of thinking with that mermaid in closing, it just got me thinking about like all the different jobs that I've had in New York, and they've mostly been waiting tables. Like when I first got to New York, I waited tables at Chevy's in Times Square, which is not there anymore, 42nd and 8th.
Right.
It's an empty space now. For a minute, it was another restaurant called Patrick's, but even that closed during the pandemic and nothing has reopened in there. And then I worked at a couple of places on the Upper West Side. I worked at Josie's for a while. I worked at Citrus. But then I was thinking of like the weird jobs. Like there was a brief moment that I worked for Dodgers Theatrics, which is like they produce Broadway and I think off-Broadway shows, and I literally like passed out flyers for them one day and then never got paid for it because I hated it so much that I don't even want to file the paperwork for this because I hated it so much. And then I spent a summer with friends like going to state fairs and doing karaoke with kids to like promote Broadway shows. Like such a weird little job that I
didn't
had
know about that one
for a while. It was funny. The way in which I usually tell this story is that every single time we would go and set up, and then every time we would break down, because we'd also give out like buy one, get one half off coupons for Broadway. Like it was all a weird sort of like just getting people excited about shows and getting people involved in shows. And like I said, I think I did it for one summer, but it is the way in which when my parents visited New York the very first time, the first show that we saw was Urinetown.
Oh, yeah.
And that was being produced by this company. And so I was able to get house seats, which, you know, they were expensive, but they were great tickets. And yeah, I don't know, just sort of a weird little thing that I did for a while. So I was thinking, because I feel like we've maybe even told this story about, like, your first restaurant job mm-hmm. that you got was because it was a friend of Patrick's, Marianne, yeah. mm-hmm. worked at this place in Alphabet City and was like, hey, I'm quitting tomorrow. I'm going to quit at noon. Just come in at 12:30 and say you're looking for a yeah. Wasn't it something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I'm not showing up for work and I'm going to tell them that. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to call them at noon. And then, so yeah, and I walked in. I was like kind of waiting. I was like, with my resume. And they're like, actually, I mean, it felt so like, I don't know, like sleazy for us. But I totally got the job. It was perfect.
And then you did restaurant for a while, and then you worked in fashion for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I have done everything under the sun, Mike.
Yeah.
I managed some retail stuff, I guess assistant managed, because who wants to really be the manager down in Soho? And that was a nightmare. But I worked for a talent agent who mostly represented children. She had adults too. That was a wild thing. It was bizarro, and I learned a lot. And then one of my craziest jobs that I did was I was playing a character. I guess I was like cast as this video game character. Me and a bunch of other girls who were the same exact height, same fairly size, similar size. We were all dressed up like this woman video game character who held this gun, and we had to walk around like essentially like a Comic-Con, but it was specifically for video game con or whatever. And I got that. I made $500 or something like that day.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I walked around for 10 hours, so I really did.
Yeah.
And in like they did crazy makeup on us. But yes, mostly otherwise I've done mostly, you know, bartending for that's the majority of it. And then I worked at Tory Burch for a little bit. I watched Oprah shop for a second, you know.
Wow. Yeah. But you also did some films. You made a couple of like legit films.
I mean, you know, I have small parts. It's the Halloween season. There's a horror movie called We Are What We Are, and I have like a fun little small part and a bit with a dog.
I still have never seen
oh,
that.
Oh, you should watch it. I wonder if it's streaming anywhere. I'll find out and let you guys know.
All right.
But yeah, there's like, I have a tiny part. And of course, you know, as an actor, you don't really know this, or as a non-actor, you don't necessarily know this, but if you get a part and you're in the movie, a lot of things end up on the cutting floor. So you're so excited to have this scene, and then it doesn't show up in the movie or the whatever. But yeah, it's true. Multiple jobs. I like to call myself a jack of all trades, a master of none. Pretty much.
Well, I think you're a master of many things.
Thank you.
I will say that the one time that I got to do a film thing was in Stakeland.
Oh, yeah. And you were awesome. Oh, my God. You
I don't have any lines. I, like, showed up, and they put me in, like, zombie sort of crazy makeup, and then but the thing was is that I was the climactic fight. Like
you
I'm
were.
The, like I knew
it's amazing.
I knew they couldn't cut me out. I was like they can't cut my part out of this because I'm the climax of this film.
You were a featured extra. I mean like
featured,
not
featured
an
extra.
But like seriously, you guys, it's called Stakeland, not like steak you eat, steak you like stab into a vampire, Stakeland. And it is honestly, it's not a bad movie. And then
it's a good movie. Like, it's really well done.
You will see Mike, this huge, tall man fighting this vampire slayer guy. It's pretty awesome. I'm going to watch that tonight, Mike.
It's pretty good. I remember my niece, Callie, one day just sending me the message being like, are you in a movie called Stakeland? Because I think it was on Netflix for a
yeah,
minute. Like, I think it was on a streaming device.
Yeah, for like
and
a
they,
year.
She and her friends just randomly were watching it, and they got to the end. And you, like, they didn't do anything about my eyes. Like, a lot of people wore, like, weird contacts to make it look like they had, like, crazy eyes. But you can just see my, like, the rest of me is in crazy makeup, but then it's just my eyes. So, like, that's the way in which it's recognizable. But, yeah, she was just like, I think they just killed you in this movie I was watching. It was very fun. That was a really, really fun. I will tell a quick story about me being
Please.
Stupid and, like, not being aware of not being, like, prepared to be in it. Because when I first got there and they put the makeup on, and then he was like, all right, you're gonna kind of come up from behind this and like make this gesture, and there's gonna be like a roar, and you can roar if you want to, you don't have to because it's gonna be a special effect anyway. And I was like, okay, I'm just like in the moment, I like roared, but I hadn't warmed up at
all. Oh no.
Like I hadn't done, and I literally like blew my voice out in 2 seconds, and then they had to be like, all right, so we're gonna reset. And I was like, okay, that's it. And I just like gonna read. I was like, oh, I was so not prepared. Yeah. Anyway, dumb story about me.
Oh gosh.
Do you have anything random for us?
Okay. Here it is. This is just a random thing that I want to get better at and do. I want to learn how to invest. I'm going to start. I'm going to get an E-Trade account and I'm going to figure it out because you know what, Mike? We should be doing that. I watched this documentary on Netflix and I can't remember what it's called because I'll talk about it next week because it's actually, you should watch it. You know, we don't learn about money in school, which is crazy. It's absolutely crazy that we don't. I feel like we need financial advisors in school teaching us how everything works. But like, we could be making money. I don't know. Here's the thing. I've been thinking about retirement lately. I'm also a person where I'm like, I don't mind working until I'm 80. But then again, I don't want to have to work, you know, till I'm 80.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think about that. So anyone out there know any good, like, I don't know, books to read? Let me know.
I need the same thing. Listen, one of the things is that I have to fill out all this paperwork for like these bonds and stuff. And like, I literally have to get on the phone with my sister later and she's going to kind of walk me through it because I'm so... Yeah. And I want to know. Like, I don't want to be that person who's like, I don't understand money. Like, right. I want to get it. Like, I want to be better at it. So, yeah.
I'll find out the name for this of the documentary. You should watch it. So, there's a thing you can invest in on, you know, whatever. It's called S&P 500. And it's essentially, like, it's instead of, like, going for just one, you know, investing in one thing. It's a bunch of things. And it's, like, kind of, like, diverse. You know, you got retail brands, it's a bunch. So it's not risky as a thing, but you keep it in there for many years, you know? So like, for example, you say you're going to put like $500 a month, let's just say we have that much to, and then in 10 years, 20 years, you're going to have a nice lump sum because it's going to make money for you instead of like, apparently it goes up with inflation, as I understand, sort of. Instead of it sitting in a savings account where a lot of savings accounts are like 0.6%, not making any money for you. Although I did just get a savings account and it's Marcus Goldman Sachs and it's at 2.1 or 2.4, which is a lot. Like that last month I made $15-$20. So
nice.
Yeah. So there's things you could do. There's like way low risk and then there's like day trading high risk. But I want to do something in the middle because, you know, I don't work a normal job and neither do you. And I'm more of a contract person at this point in my life. And so I want to take care of I don't want to be screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally, I feel that all the way.
Yeah.
So I have two actually random things. Cause one of them is from, so I was watching Norma Rae last night.
Right.
And one of the character of the guy who's like trying to form the unions. I'm like, this guy is so familiar. And so I looked him up and it's Ron Liebman, and I probably the average person would know him because he played Rachel Green's dad on Friends.
Oh, yeah.
If you see him, you'll totally recognize him. Like, it's funny. It was funny watching him in 1979 because he was like a young, kind of like sexy young sort of.
Yeah.
And so I looked him up and I think that I was sort of aware that he had passed away a few years ago. He passed away in 2019. But the one really random thing that I wanted to bring up is that he won an Emmy Award for Best Leading Actor in a Drama Series for a TV series called Kaz, K-A-Z.
Uh-huh.
And it only had like 20-something episodes. So like, I think it only ran for one season. And I just think that's kind of amazing to like win an Emmy Award for a show that was probably canceled by the time that he won the Emmy Award.
Wow.
I don't know. Just sort of wanted to take a moment and give some props to Ron Liebman, because I think that's pretty cool.
Huh, I love it.
And then the other random thing is I literally last night when I got home, I was thinking about Linda Eder, who is my favorite voice.
Yeah.
And I've never seen her perform live. And I was like, I feel like she's gonna be at 54 Below at some point. I should look it up. She's there tonight and I'm going to go see her.
What?
I got a ticket. I was like, oh, there's a not there. I mean, listen, there are no inexpensive tickets to this show, but one of the less expensive tickets was available. I was like, all right, I'm going to go. So
I'm
seeing Linda Eder tonight and I'm kind of like freaking out. I'm so excited about it.
Is she going to sing Man of La Mancha?
I was saying all that I want is Man of La Mancha in Vienna, which I'm sure that she's so tired of singing Man of La Mancha in Vienna. I'll be happy with it, whatever she decides to sing. But I'm very excited. So I'll have that to talk about next week.
I cannot wait to hear.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So there you go.
I love it.
So love it. Love you. Love talking
you
with you.
Same thief.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Thanks everyone for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I love cinnamon bears.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. You can do it so that, like, things finish at the same time.
That's always the goal.
Yeah. Ba-dum-bum.